Hello there, boys and girls of the cinematic universe, and welcome to another special weekly episode of Movie Madness. I'm your host, David Double D Dennis, and I'm joined this week with only one person, and he is...
Scott 5.0. I have replaced Scott.
That's right. As part of Scott's new improvement, he has become Andrew. It turns out that Andrew Roebuck was a higher form of human being than Scott was, so now Scott has finally attained to becoming an Andrew Roebuck. There's actually more than one. It turns out you're a whole species of people, so how's that working out for you?
We are like the Borg. We assimilate all who are inferior.
That's amazing. So if I run out of... Actually, I'll never run out of you. I'll never run out of Andrew Roebuck.
There's an unlimited supply.
That's awesome. It makes you kind of unspecial, though. Don't you just you feel like one of the swarm at this point?
It doesn't matter. I have no feelings towards this matter.
Oh, wow. I'm going to be dealing with Mr. Emotionless here. This will be an exciting show. So who do you think will win Best Picture? It does not matter, I have no feelings.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator.
Arnold Schwarzenegger will win every award. So shall it be written, so shall it be done. So in case you haven't guessed from that nonsense, this is going to be our Oscar predictions. Predictions. I said it right that time. Our Oscar predictions show for 2013. For what will this be, like the 70-something
Oscars? It's like, isn't it like the 83rd, I want to say? No, I'm probably
wrong. Oh, yeah. It's sad that I don't actually have this pulled up on my internet. I have the Oscars page pulled up on IMDb, but it doesn't actually say the number. Oh man, now I feel like an idiot. Whatever, it's the 80-something... 85th, wow.
Yeah, jeez.
Old. Mr. Oscar, you're getting up there. So yeah, it's going to be the 85th Oscars happening on Sunday, February 24th, the last Sunday of the month. But before that happens, we're going to talk a little bit about our predictions. Actually, as we record this, the BAFTA Awards are happening tonight. So we won't even know who won those awards while we predict this. All we really have to go on is sort of like the Golden Globes and the Critics' Choice Awards. I think were the only... and the SAGs were the really big ones that happened at this point.
Yeah, and like a lot of other like little critics shows like that are in like New York and stuff like that.
Yeah, the San Francisco Critics Association or whatever. there's countless, there's like too many awards going around now, but the Oscars is the big one. That's the one that everyone looks forward to. That's the one that they do at the end after all the other ones have been announced. And so Andrew and I are going to be discussing who we think will win and who we want to win, because sometimes those are two very different things. There's often times where I think someone will win, but I really want someone else to win. And the reason why Scott's not with us is because he really just doesn't care about the Oscars, because he's a bastard.
Yes.
So it's just going to be me and Andrew for this one, so I apologize if there's a lack of Scott's hilarity in this episode. If that's the case, you can just skip it and go to the next one, you asshole. That's right, I'm all about insulting our listeners. Okay, so basically, before we do this, I actually wanted to talk to you, Andrew, about something I do every year with a few close friends of mine called the Oscar Game.
Ooh.
Basically, how this works is whoever we pick here as like who we think will win...
Well, then fight to the death.
That... Yes. No, basically, once the Oscars comes on, we watch it, and then we mark if we got it right or not. Now, different categories are worth a different amount of points. Now I'm trying to remember them all. I know Best Picture is worth double. It's like 20 points if you get it right, and then negative 10 if you get it wrong. The bigger ones like screenplay and acting are worth 10 if you get it right, and -5 if you get it wrong. And then all the other ones, like the short films, the editing, sound, all of that stuff, is worth 5 if you get it right, and then nothing if you get it wrong, because those ones aren't as big of a deal. So what we'll do is, on Oscar night, whatever we pick today, we'll tell you if we got it right or wrong at once we record our actual Oscar show, and we'll tell you what our final scores were and who won the game. So it'll raise the stakes a little bit, make things a bit more interesting.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Maybe whoever wins will have to buy the other person like a hamburger or something.
And Scott has to buy us hamburgers just because he's Scott.
Yeah, because he didn't show up for the show. That's his penalty. Okay, so jumping right into this, how we do this is we're going to work our way backwards, kind of. So I have printed out here from the Oscar website the complete list of nominees. The only thing is that Best Picture starts on page 1, so I don't want to go to page 1 right away, because that's the big one, and you don't want to announce right off the hop who you think will win Best Picture. So I'm going to go way down to page 4. Actually, if you go to the Oscar website yourself while you listen to this, there should be a link that says, like, printable list or something like that. And it'll basically give you this exact list of nominees. So we're going to start at the very bottom and work our way backwards. And, you know, say who we think will win and who we'd actually like to win. So, getting things underway, at the very bottom of the list, we have, starting right off the bat, is the 2 writing awards for original screenplay and adapted screenplay. These are pretty big ones, especially since I'm a screenwriter, so I probably care more about these than, like, the average Joe would, I guess.
Makes sense.
So, all right, getting into original screenplay. These are screenplays that are based on original stuff, basically. They're not adapted from other material. The nominees we have for this category are Amour, written by Michael Haneke, who also directed the film. Django Unchained, written by Quentin Tarantino, also the director. Flight, written by John Gattens. Moonrise Kingdom by Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola. I was so glad that got nominated, by the way. And Zero Dark Thirty, written by Mark Bowl. Let's start with you, Andrew. Who do you think will win original screenplay?
Well, actually, for this one, both who I want to win and who I think will win are the same one. Ooh.
Uh-oh. And I've got that for a few of mine, too. That's okay.
And I would say I honestly think that Moonrise Kingdom is going to get it, because usually when they do original screenplays, it's kind of more they tend to give it to a more interesting film, usually. It's usually a film that hasn't been nominated for everything else. Or maybe I'm just convincing myself this just because I want to see Moonrise Kingdom get something. And it would be nice if Wes Anderson's excellent writing was recognized by the Oscars, I think. What do you think, Dave?
I love Moonrise Kingdom. I think who I want to win would be either Moonrise Kingdom or Zero Dark Thirty. Moonrise Kingdom for originality and Zero Dark Thirty more for realism. But who I think will win is actually Django Unchained. That was my pick. Mostly just, you know, this is just sort of an unbiased, based on trends of it picked up a Golden Globe and it picked up a Critics' Choice Award for this category. So chances are it's also going to pick up the Oscar as well. Now, do I think it should win? Not really. I mean, I like the movie a lot, and I love Quentin Tarantino, but I don't think this is his best script. I think Inglourious Basterds was better. If anything, that should have picked up a screenplay award over this.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the Django Unchained keeps winning this award in all these other shows, so that was the reason why I picked it. Kind of a boring reason, I know. Yours is more compelling.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's my prediction for original screenplay.
Has Tarantino ever won any screenplay Oscars in the past?
He won for Pulp Fiction. That was the only award Pulp Fiction won, actually, sadly.
Oh, so maybe this will be the only award that Django will win. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Maybe. I might have Django picked for something else later on, but we'll get to that. Before that, the next screenplay award is for adapted screenplay, where it's based on other material, comic books, books, short films, whatever. So, for adapted screenplay, we have Argo by Chris Terrio, Beasts of the Southern Wild by Lucy Alibar and Ben Zeitlin, Life of Pi by David McGee, Lincoln by Tony Kushner, and Silver Linings Playbook by David O. Russell.
And
now, this one... Oh, go ahead. You do yours first.
Oh, I was just going to make a joke, and don't forget Abraham Lincoln versus vampires. Or Vampire Hunter.
Oh. Yeah, there was no vampires in Lincoln. I was very disappointed.
Anyways, for me, I think that Lincoln will probably win the Best Screenplay Award, although I don't really want it to. What I want to win will probably be Beast of the Southern Wilds or Silver Linings Playbook. Silver Linings Playbook has more of a chance than Beast of the Southern Wilds, I feel, because it's really well written and everything like that. But Beast of the Southern Wilds would be really interesting because, honestly, I don't think I've ever seen another film like it. So for it to win a screenplay nod would be a really interesting choice and would show that the Oscars are kind of stretching a little bit more than they usually do.
Yeah, for this one, I actually picked who I want to win as well. We talked about in the last episode, when I got to my number one favorite movie, it was Silver Linings Playbook, and that's who I picked to win adapted screenplay as well. I just think that Silver Linings had a brilliant screenplay. All of the characters were very well represented. All of the dialogue was just amazing. And I don't think anyone can write arguments like David O. Russell. Like, his characters argue like real people argue, and it's almost painful to watch, but in a good way. So that is why I picked Silver Linings Playbook as my prediction for adapted screenplay. Now, like you said, it could go to Lincoln or maybe even Argo. It's hard to tell for the harder to tell for this one, I think, than for original screenplay.
Definitely.
All right, so moving on, another actually very interesting award that always seems to surprise me every year is visual effects. Now, the nominees for this category, I won't read all of the names because there's too many of them and I probably couldn't pronounce all of them. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, Life of Pi, Marvel's The Avengers, they actually put the word Marvels, it's part of the title apparently, ooh, Prometheus, and Snow White and the Huntsman. Now, I have no idea how Snow White and the Huntsman got nominated over The Dark Knight Rises. That, to me, is retarded. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, yeah, they always put weird movies in visual effects, because I know, like, I think it was like a year or two ago, The Wolfman got visual effects nod, and everyone, like, hated that movie.
No, that was a makeup award.
Oh!
And it actually won it. It was...
makeup.
It was famous dude who's done, like, 500 different movie makeups. I can't remember his name. But yeah, I mean, that movie had good makeup. It was just like a shitty movie. But yeah, there has been weird things that have won and or been nominated for this award in the past. I know a lot of things get thrown out there on the long list, and then only five of them end up making it to the final tally or whatever. I just think I agree with the other four. I just think The Dark Knight Rises had good visual effects. Should have taken that fifth slot. But whatever. Anyways, I'll go first for this one, I guess. Who I think will win? I picked Life of Pi. It would be, for me, it was between that and The Avengers. I think both of them looked pretty awesome. Prometheus too, but I think just because of the mediocre reviews Prometheus got, that it probably won't win. Life of Pi I picked because it has really the best reviews out of all five of these films. Even though that really shouldn't affect a visual effects Oscar, let's face it, it does. People have their own biases and whatever. And because Life of Pi was just a genuinely very nice looking film. I mentioned in the last episode that it's a movie that made like 45 minutes of ocean actually look nice and made me want to look at the screen while it was just a guy floating around in the water for like an hour. So yeah, and the animals that they show are mostly all CGI and they look pretty good. So yeah, Life of Pi is my pick for that one. Andrew, what is your pick for visual effects?
I would definitely have to agree with you. I think Life of Pi is going to take it. Just because on almost all of the reviews that I saw that were like really poring over just how much they love this film, they all mentioned the visual effects and just about how amazing it was. And I really can't deny it because I think the visual effects made that movie so good, because the middle part of that movie is amazing and that's all visual effects and believing that he's actually out on this ocean and everything like that. So in a way I probably also want that to win, but I also would be very happy if I saw the Avengers take up something. And maybe because it's so popular, the Avengers, and since it's kind of early in the show and visual effects is not super important, they might throw that a bone just so people watching at home will be like, yeah, the Avengers. But who knows?
Possibly, yeah. Now, that kind of thinking actually sort of influenced who I pick for these next categories. The next ones are sound editing and sound mixing. A little bit of random Oscar trivia here. This has nothing to do with the... Well, it has something to do with the awards, but these awards actually used to be best sound was what best sound mixing used to be. It used to just be called best sound, and best sound editing used to be called best effects, sound effects editing. Like the sound editing award was actually coupled with visual effects, and the other sound award was on its own.
Weird.
Yeah, so that was actually a recent change that they made, probably around 2002, something like that. To put the two sound awards together. Now I'm just going to go through all of the movies for sound editing and sound mixing, and then we'll go through sort of both of them at once. So for sound editing, we've got Argo, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Skyfall, and Zero Dark Thirty. For sound mixing, we also have Argo, we have Les Mis, which wasn't nominated for editing, Life of Pi again, Lincoln again not nominated for editing, and Skyfall again. Now, one thing to keep in mind when predicting these awards is usually whoever wins one wins the other, so I usually try and go with one that's nominated for both. Sometimes they pick one for one and then different movie for the other one, but I just find it's a safer bet to pick the same movie for both. And the only movies nominated for both categories were Argo, Life of Pi, and Skyfall. And out of those three, I thought that the one with the best sound was Skyfall. So, and I think it would just be cool to see a James Bond movie actually pick up some Oscars. So that was my prediction for sound editing and sound mixing, was Skyfall for both.
Well,
now I'm hoping you have something more interesting, Andrew.
Well, I definitely want, I would love to see Skyfall pick up both those awards. I think that for sound mixing, I could see them going with something like Les Mis, because it's all done like on the sound stage, and the sound in that movie is like kind of almost in a way like revolutionary and like doing something really different. Since I shot it all on stage, if you don't know about Les Mis, when they shot the music, they usually kind of like do like an overdub of it later in the process. But in Les Mis, the actors were actually singing, and when they were actually singing on camera is with the audio that was captured and used in the film. So that's why I think sound mixing might go to Les Mis. And as for sound editing, I could see Zero Dark Thirty, just because of that really climactic scene in the bunker, basically, where, spoiler alert for real life, Osama bin Laden is hiding out on, and like sound is really important to that. But for sound editing, I could also see Skyfall getting it too, so it's kind of up in the air for me. I don't really know much about either of the categories and haven't done my research on them, to be honest with you, but that's kind of just my best guess.
So you have, well, your best guess actually makes a lot of sense the way you described it, and you have more interesting choices. I think it would be more interesting if they picked ones that were only nominated in either or category. But it just seems like this is something that's happened in the past in terms of Oscar history. But we shall see, because some years they pick one for one, they pick one for the other, like I said before. So, yeah. I like your choices better than mine, actually, for that one. Now, moving on to page 3, we're going to skip over the short film awards, just because I haven't seen most of them. I've seen, like, one of the animated short films, Paper Man, because it played before Wreck-It Ralph, but that's it. So, yeah, I want Paper Man to win. That's it.
Yeah. Wait, what is the Maggie Simpson in The Longest Daycare? Is that a Simpsons short film?
That played before... Yeah, it did. It was. It played before the newest Ice Age movie, which I did not see.
Oh, really? I did not know that. But yeah, I have seen Paper Man, and Paper Man was beautiful. I love that. And
yeah, it was really good.
I bet you that film that will win too, just because it's Pixar, probably. Well, not Pixar. Yeah, but Disney.
It was Disney Animation Studios that made it, because they're basically copying Pixar and putting short films before their movies now. But yeah, I loved Paper Man. So, anyways, we're gonna move on past those to production design. This is kind of one I don't really care about that much. I guess it's sort of like the set design and stuff like that, like props and whatnot. So for this one, we have Anna Karenina. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly.
And I think it's Anna Karenina. Karenina or something like that.
Anna Karenina, which I haven't seen. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Les Mis again. Life of Pi and Lincoln. You can go first for this one, Andrew, because I'm curious what you picked.
I would probably say Lincoln, just because it's a period piece and it's got like a it's almost a very showy period piece that a lot of the film is focused on getting things accurate, and there's a lot of little touches here and there, and that's part of the reason the film works so well is because of its accuracy, I would say. But I could also see it going to Les Mis, because that's also kind of a period piece with a lot of little details put into it. But I would kind of like to see The Hobbit win, just because I would always like to see the person who put together those crazy dwarves, and the fact that there's so many of them, and there's different features to each one of them that kind of separate them. Mm-hmm. And without like a good production designer, it probably wouldn't have worked so well. Well, no, that much more makeup, but whatever. Production design, too. Screw it.
Yeah, that would also fall under costume design a little bit, which I'm not sure if The Hobbit is nominated for that. But I picked Les Mis for this one, mostly because it's a movie that moves through like 30 or 40 years of time. And really stays true to the period, and there's lots of big costumes. The camera zooms out a bunch of times, and you see like 30 people at once, and there's a lot of detail put into that movie. As much as I wasn't a huge fan of Les Mis, I found it kind of dragged a lot, but the production design was really the best thing about that movie. So that was my pick. I could see Lincoln taking it, but I feel like Les Mis was definitely the more showy and the more, I don't know how you would say it. It was the more flamboyant of the two, so that's why I picked that one.
Makes sense. I actually haven't seen Les Mis, so I can't really comment on the comparison.
Well, you're not really missing out that much, to be honest with you, I think, anyways. Other people would probably argue with me. But the next awards are the ones that I'm always a little bit more fascinated with, and those are Original Song and Original Score, the two music awards. Now, one thing we can talk about is if there's anything that was missed. Like, I don't feel like the previous categories we talked about had a lot that was missed, other than I mentioned The Dark Knight Rises. But if there's anything that's missed from any of these categories that wasn't even nominated, we should mention that too, because sometimes the Academy nominates things and it doesn't even make sense. One thing is for original score, I really would have liked to have seen Looper get a nomination in that category.
Yeah, that would have definitely been interesting. I think it deserves the nod.
Especially if you get the Looper Blu-ray, there's a bonus feature on the making of the music in the movie, and they used a lot of real-world sound effects, like one of the characters has like a gat, and he brought it into the studio, and they kind of clicked the gat and filmed, or not filmed it, but they recorded it, and you can hear the gat sounds going during the music. And all the drums are like car doors slamming and stuff like that. Like, it was a very unique way to create music for a film other than just using a conventional orchestra.
That's awesome.
Another one that didn't get a nomination, and I was a little bit surprised by this, was The Master, which was Johnny Greenwood's score for, or Johnny Greenwood's second score for a Paul Thomas Anderson film. And he was nominated his first time around when he did the score for There Will Be Blood. Now, for those of you who don't know, Johnny Greenwood is best known as the lead guitarist for Radiohead. But just happened to score these movies, and it was a good score, and I'm just surprised it wasn't nominated.
Off the top of my head, I can definitely agree with Looper deserving a nod, but over the top, other than that, I can't really think of any themes or music that really blew me. Oh, wait, no, wait a minute. Cloud Atlas. How is Cloud Atlas not an original score? That movie's all about a score, a musical score.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of the movie. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, you're right. Cloud Atlas was really, Cloud Atlas and Looper were two of the movies that were really just glanced over by the Academy. They didn't really get any nominations. I didn't love Cloud Atlas, but there were definitely some good things about it. Like, I feel like things like makeup and production design, it should have gotten nominations for.
Yeah, like, the best part of Cloud Atlas, I thought, was the beautiful musical score. So, I'm really surprised that it didn't get even a nod. And I'm surprised I just wildly remembered it now and almost left it out completely.
That is perfectly fine. Now let's go into original song. I can't think of anything that was really missed by this one. I'm actually pretty pleased by the things that they picked for this.
Honestly, I only remember the one song. So everything else in here, I've seen some of the movies for, but I don't really remember the songs as much.
Yeah. Let me go through the actual nominations that we're talking about. Original score, we've got Anna Karenina again, which maybe it was good and neither of us actually saw it. Alexander Desplat's score for Argo, Michael Dana's score for Life of Pi, John Williams' like 800th nomination for Lincoln, Thomas Newman's score for Skyfall, which is kind of cool. And then for original song, we've got Before My Time from a documentary about glaciers melting called Chasing Ice. Everybody Needs a Best Friend from Ted. Never thought that movie would get a nomination, but it did. Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi. Skyfall from Skyfall. And Suddenly from Les Mis. Now, who I want to win, I think for original song, I think it would actually be funny if Everybody Needs a Best Friend won this one, but I don't think it will. I'm thinking Skyfall is going to take this one, actually. It already won the Golden Globe, and Adele just seems to be like a award magnet. She's won like 14 Grammys or something ridiculous like that, so she might as well add an Oscar to her mantle at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anything else has a chance for music original song. This is the end. Close your eyes and count to 10, because that is not how many Oscars Skyfall is going to win, so that made no sense. But I think Skyfall is going to get it.
Yeah, I like I said earlier when I was talking about the Sound Awards, I just think it would be cool if a James Bond film won a couple of Oscars. It would lend a little bit of credibility to the series. And Skyfall has definitely been the best-reviewed James Bond film in a long time. And I really like this song. I know a lot of people that don't like it. I think part of it is just because of all the radio play it's been getting and whatnot. People are probably sick of it at this point. But it's a good song. Ever since I first heard it, I feel like it made up for the crappiness of Another Way to Die from the last James Bond movie. So we both agree on this one.
Yeah, well, I also kind of want it to win because I don't really remember the others, but I really don't think anything else even has a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, the only other one possibly is the one from Les Mis, because, I mean, it's a music-based movie, right? So
yeah, and didn't they just, like...
for it to win a music award.
I'm pretty sure they just made that song, original song, just so they could get an Oscar nom.
Yeah, probably.
They really need, like...
It's not even really that great of a song, to be honest, but
they really need to make like a category where it's like best use of like music in a movie that's like our like pre-existing music, because that'd be kind of cool, because then you could see something like the majority of the score for like Moonrise Kingdom, because that was all done like with existing music, you know what I mean?
Like best adapted score?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, I've been saying for years one category they don't have that they should have is, like, best stunt choreography for action movies and whatnot.
Yeah, no, that would be really good.
Or best fight choreography, something like that, would be a cool award to add.
That would be pretty cool.
But it's never gonna happen.
Just wait until we get our seats on the Oscars.
Yeah, eventually we'll be part of the Academy and things are gonna change! Alright, so original score. I think for this one, there's two that stand a pretty good chance of winning, and that would be John Williams for Lincoln, because it's John Williams, and like I said, this is, I think it's probably like his 45th, something like that, nomination. And Life of Pi by Michael Dana. I'm not even sure who Michael Dana is, to be honest with you, or what other scores he's done. But that's the one I'm picking. I feel like John Williams has already won like 8 or 9 Oscars, so he's had his fill, so they'll probably give it to a newer guy. And Life of Pi, I don't really remember the main theme or anything, I just remember it had nice music that lent itself to the film really well, so.
Yeah, I would probably have to say Lincoln, because I think that Lincoln is gonna get quite a few Oscars this year, so... I just think that Best Original Score is another one that'll pick up.
See, I think Lincoln is actually going to be one of those movies that's nominated for a bunch but doesn't really win any of them.
Ooh, really? Because there's...
But we'll...
There's one...
We'll see. Or there's one that it's pretty much guaranteed, but the rest I don't think it's going to get.
Understandable.
So... Alright, so the next one, kind of related to production design, is makeup and hairstyling. We don't really have to say much about this one. There's only 3 nominations. Hitchcock, The Hobbit, again, and Les Mis. I picked Les Mis just because it's Les Mis, it's a big period piece. There's lots of, I mean, there's parts where the characters sort of cut their own hair, and it actually does look like, you know, someone kind of hacked up their hair. So in terms of hairstyling and makeup, there's a lot of, like, dirty faces and bloody faces and stuff like that. So I'm picking Les Mis for this one.
I would also probably pick Les Mis just because Anne Hathaway sacrificed her hair for this role or just wanted an Oscar. Have you seen that video online where it's just, like, a parody of her Les Mis song and about how much she wants an Oscar?
No, I have not, but that sounds kind of amazing.
It is pretty funny.
Which is ironic, because she's probably going to win an Oscar for that award, for basically catering to the tastes of people that hand out Oscars. They like tragedy, and they like women who do extreme things for their roles, like lose a bunch of weight, or gain a bunch of weight, or hack off all their hair, or whatever. Stuff like that is more likely to get you an Oscar than actually turning in a good performance, which is kind of sad, but... So, moving on, we've got the foreign language film, which we're gonna skip because we're uncultured swine and both of us have only seen Amour. Which is likely gonna win anyways. I haven't seen the other film, so I don't really want to make an official prediction on that one yet.
Well, it's hard for, like, anyone to really see a lot of these films, because, like, unless you have to download them, and or unless you're, like, part of the Academy, like, you can't just go to, like, Walmart or, like, Future Shop or something and go, yes, I want Kon-Tiki, or no, or, like, A Royal Affair.
No what? What do you mean no?
No, the chili.
What are you saying
movie?
No to?
Uh-huh.
I just want no. Chili?
Okay.
You want no what? No chili. No chili for you. Yeah, that's true. They're kind of hard to see unless you illegally download them. So I don't like to condone illegal downloading, but there's times when there's not a lot of other options, sadly. All right, so the next award on our list is film editing. The nominees for this one are Argo, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. I would say out
of
them,
probably
Argo, Life of...
Oh, I was going to say, for those of you following at home, we are now on the second page.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I would say out of those ones, probably Argo and Zero Dark Thirty and Life of Pi stand the best chance in terms of editing. But for this one, I'm going to actually pick the one that I want to win, and I'm going with Zero Dark Thirty. Just because that movie had phenomenal editing. Like, that was actually one of the thoughts running through my head while I was watching the movie was, wow, this movie has really good editing. And how often do you think that while you're watching a movie? Usually you're not cognitive of how good the editing in a film is when you're watching it. Zero Dark Thirty was really the only movie that had that kind of effect on me. So that's going to be my pick.
I would definitely agree with you because I think Zero Dark Thirty will get that award. Although I do know that there was like that one Oscar voter who was kind of like, don't vote for Zero Dark Thirty, blah, 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 politics.
Oh, yeah, it's bullshit.
So it may, like, I know it's, like, stupid, but it may have actually, like, affected its award chances a little bit. So I'm probably going to go with, I'd like to see Zero Dark win, but I'm going to say Life of Pi.
Okay. Makes sense. I don't think that the politics is going to affect it that much, but you may be right. We don't really know.
Well, like, most of the Oscars is, like, a lot of politics, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows? I could be wrong, so and I'll be happily proven wrong.
All right, awesome. So, basically, you want me to be right, but if you're right, you get more points in the Oscar game. So, either way, you win.
Exactly. The Borg never loses.
Ingenious. Amazing. All right, so again, we're going to skip over the documentary films because we're uncultured, like we said earlier. The only one I've really seen is Searching for Sugar Man, which I think is probably going to be the one that's going to win again. But I don't really know. Like, I've heard good things about Five Broken Cameras, and I've heard good things about The Invisible War, so...
I would say that, like, there's a few ones missing from the documentary feature category that I would like to see. I would have liked to see either, like, Jiro Dreams of Sushi or, like, The Queen of Versailles make it on here, because those are two documentaries I watched this year that I thought were really good. But then again, I haven't actually seen any of the current documentary pictures, so they may all be better than my choices, and I should just shut up.
Okay. No, that's understandable. I think last year there was a few documentary films that were really big that a lot of people were hoping would be on there and weren't. I'm just not really up on documentaries as much as I should be, which is unfortunate, but they don't really play them down here where I live so much, so yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks to be me! Okay, so next up on the list, we have one of the strangest categories of the year, and one of the ones I probably agree with the least. That is directing, which for whatever reason, they put sort of halfway through the list instead of putting it closer to the top. But anyways, for directing, we have Michael Haneke for Amor, Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, and David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. Now, this one was a big shocker for a lot of people, especially since Ben Affleck was nominated and won for both the Critics' Choice Awards and the Golden Globe Awards for this category, which he wasn't even nominated for at the Oscars. So, if he was updated, or if he was nominated in this category, I think I would be picking him. So I'm kind of glad he isn't, because I would have picked him and I probably would have been wrong. So, Andrew, I'm curious who you picked in this category that seems like it's missing several people that should have picked.
Oh, who do I think is missing? I would say, who is it? I don't see anyone like directly that I think is as missing. I kind of like the way it is laid out right now. It's got kind of interesting. Like, I really like how Ben Zeitlin got nominated for Beast of the Southern Wilds, because like that is his first film ever. And like,
yeah,
and
it's a little surprising.
Yeah, it's really surprising, because I think I was reading it and like I don't remember the last time someone's first feature-length debut film got nominated for so many Oscars, and like directing especially is like, whoa, that's crazy. Although,
yeah, especially another person that they missed was Catherine Bigelow.
Oh yeah, Catherine Bigelow. Oh, I can't believe that she didn't get nominated, because she was fantastic, and Zero Dark Thirty was amazing.
Now, the one person I think didn't really deserve it that much would be Steven Spielberg, just because he's been nominated a bunch of times before, and I think he's done better than Lincoln. Like, I liked Lincoln, but not really his best film. I think I would have liked to have seen Affleck replace him, probably.
Yeah, but I think this might say something to Lincoln's chances that it's nominated for so many things.
Maybe, yeah. I agree with Ang Lee for Life of Pi. I agree. I like that David O. Russell got a nomination. Actually, I'm glad after I saw Amore, like, I was kind of like, who the heck is Michael Haneke and what's Amore? What the hell is this? After I actually watched Amore, I was kind of glad that he got nominated.
I think
he actually did a spectacular job commanding the performances out of these people. So
yeah, and I think like I've seen a few other of Michael Haneke films, and I think like this might be his only chance to win a Best Directing Oscar, but I don't think he'll get it. But this might be his only chance.
Yeah, he stands a very slim chance. Now, I think we're going to probably disagree on this one. My choice for who I think will win is actually David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. I picked it earlier for screenplay. I think this is going to be kind of a dark horse entry sort of thing. But I don't know. I'm going with my gut on this one, I think, is my best answer. Plus, I really, really loved Silver Linings, so that's the main reason why I'm rooting for it.
Yeah,
I can't really give a better reason than that. Like I said, if Ben Affleck was nominated, I would pick him because it would make the most sense, but he wasn't.
Yeah, I actually don't necessarily agree with you. I mean, disagree with you. Like, I think that it'd be very interesting to see Silver Linings Playbook, and it's definitely like a dark horse that if it won a bunch, I'd be like, wow, that's really cool, because a romantic comedy has not won a bunch of Oscars since like Annie Hall, so it's been like a really long time.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that would be really cool. But my guess is I honestly think that Lincoln will get it, and I'm putting a lot of my horses to pasture with Lincoln. So if I'm wrong, all my horses will die.
I'll be assassinating your horses one by one. They'll call me the horse murderer. Which is funny, because Steven Spielberg's last movie was War Horse, where a bunch of horses do die.
In a war.
None of them in pastures, though. All of them in a war. Okay, so the next category, for whatever reason, they split up all of the like production design sort of Oscars. I think it would have made more sense to put, you know, costume design, makeup, and set design all at the same time. But anyways, the next one we got is costume design. Turns out that Anna Karenina is nominated yet again. We also have Les Mis again, Lincoln again. Kind of a weird one here is Mirror Mirror. Surprised to see that nominated here. And Snow White and the Huntsman. For this one, just to get through it quickly, I picked Les Mis again. I think Les Mis is just going to sweep all of these types of awards, like the makeup, set design, costume design, all of those things. I think it's either going to be Les Mis or Lincoln for both of them, and I chose Les Mis. So I'm putting my horses in that pasture.
Okay.
A few of them.
Okay, yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm kind of surprised that The Hobbit didn't get down here, especially like over Snow White and The Huntsman, because that's just weird. And
or Mirror Mirror, what the hell?
Yeah, both Snow White movies are nominated for Best Costume Design. That's interesting, because Mirror Mirror was that other Snow White movie. Anyways, I think that I'm going to say it again. I'm just going to sound like a broken record for a while. I think Lincoln will get it. Skip, 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 skip. Change sides.
I think Lincoln will get in. I think Lincoln will get in. I can just make a remix with that. I think Lincoln will get in. Anyways, guess what is nominated in the next category? You'll find out soon. It's cinematography featuring Lincoln. Also featuring Anna Karenina. I really should watch that movie. I didn't realize how much it was nominated for.
Yeah, neither did I, actually.
Django Unchained, Life of Pi, and another kind of a dark horse one here, Skyfall, was nominated. Roger Deakins has been nominated for so many Oscars and has never won, and I feel bad for the guy. Although, unfortunately, he is not my choice. I actually picked Life of Pi to win this one. Claudio Miranda, a man I've never heard of, actually. But I picked Life of Pi because, first off, it was one of those few movies that looked gorgeous in 3D, and the Oscars seems to have been favoring those types of movies in terms of who they picked to win cinematography awards. Like, Avatar kind of came out of nowhere to win a cinematography award a few years ago. And then Hugo did the same thing. So I picked Life of Pi for that reason. Plus, it's a very vivid, vibrant, just a gorgeous-looking film. So in terms of cinematography, I think Life of Pi is the one that really sticks out above the other ones. Andrew, your thoughts?
I would say that I think that Skyfall will get it. And that's also what I
really
want to win. I'm guessing, because Roger Deakins has been nominated for this Oscar so many times, and I think like all the Academy has to do in order to give them the best cinematography is just watch that scene with the lighting in, I believe it's like Hong Kong or Tokyo or whatever, where he's fighting in that whole room with all the glasses and all the reflections and the lighting. And when you look at that cinematography, like, that is some of the best stuff put to film in 2012, so I think that makes it all the more reason for Skyfall to win. Although that is kind of a dark horse, and that's kind of me going out on a limb, because in more likelihoods, Life of Pi might take it, but you know what? Screw it. I'm going to risk it all. I bet on Bond. It's like betting on black, but
all
he's
right.
Bond.
Yeah, I looked it up, and Roger Deakins has actually been nominated 10 times without winning.
Wow.
So, hopefully he gets one before he dies. I just don't think it's going to be for Skyfall. But I agree with you. I think if Life of Pi or Skyfall take it, like Skyfall, like you said, that one scene was just gorgeous, and the whole movie was very well shot. But I think Life of Pi, like I said, is the one that sticks out the most as just being very eye-popping in terms of the way it looks. The next one is one I've been looking forward to, actually.
Ooh.
The animated feature film. We've got Brave, Mark Andrews and Brenda Chapman, Frankenweenie by Tim Burton, Paranorman by Sam Fell and Chris Butler, The Pirates Band of Misfits by Peter Lord, and Wreck-It Ralph by Rich Moore. So basically we got Pixar, Tim Burton's like follow-up to Nightmare Before Christmas, Paranorman, which is sort of the follow-up to Coraline, The Pirates Band of Misfits, which was what's it, Aardman, I think they're called, made the Chicken Run and the Wallace and Gromit movies, and then Wreck-It Ralph was Disney's latest. I don't think there's really a lot of movies that were missing from this category that should have been there. Maybe Legend of the Guardians I thought was actually pretty good, but otherwise, I'm actually pretty pleased with it.
Yeah, I am too. Usually an animated feature film that's only like 3 nominations most years, and you're just like, oh, why couldn't they have just made it 5 and put these 2 great movies that they're missing? But like this time they actually got like a really pretty good scope of all the animated films that came out this year.
Yeah, like I think it was last year there was a few that they were missing, and I was just like, what the hell are you guys thinking? But this year, I was actually, one thing that shocked me is Frankenweenie, Paranorman, and The Pirates, all 3 of the claymation films that came out this year got a nomination, and that makes me so happy, because there's so much CGI coming out now, and it's just nice to see claymation getting recognized like this. We're probably going to disagree on who we think will win, and I'm going to throw it out there that who I think will win is also who I want to win, and that's Wreck-It Ralph. I think this is just stands apart from the other ones as the best animated film of the year. Besides even putting aside the video game references, which I think were great and really funny and fit the film really well. But besides that, I think it just told a really good story. It had a really good moral. It had really memorable characters. The voice acting worked really well. The visuals worked really well. I liked Wreck-It Ralph on just about every level. So, but if it went to Paranorman, I'd be happy with that too. So.
Oh, wow. I actually don't think that Paranorman or Wreck-It Ralph will win. I think that Brave is going to take it just because it's a Pixar film.
You're betting on Pixar?
Yeah, I'm betting on Pixar. Even though Brave wasn't the most well-received of them all, but I think that both Wreck-It Ralph and Paranorman play to a crowd that doesn't really match the Oscars' usual demographic, I would say, for the people who are voting on these movies. They seem... I don't know. I actually don't know much about the people who do the animated feature films, but I know like the Oscars is mainly composed of elderly voters. Don't mean to be kind of condescending in any way, but they're just older people who have a lot of experience with film, and so I think that Brave, or even like I can even see Frankenweenie getting it, because both of them kind of like go back, like Frankenweenie goes back to like classic horror films, while Paranorman more references the cult horror like films. But I think Brave got it. That's not a word, but it is now.
It got it good.
But yeah, I'm just gonna say Brave, because I just think that the Academy is not diverse enough to pick any of the other choices, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Brave. Like, it was, I don't know, I liked it, but it was very disappointing for me. So I think if I kind of just sit on it for a while, and if I watch it again maybe like a year from now, I might like it a little bit more. It might be a film that grows on me over time, but I don't think I liked it enough for it to deserve an animated film award. But, you know, what I think doesn't really matter, and what you said makes sense, that you really have to go with what the Academy is thinking. I picked Wreck-It Ralph because I just think it's the best one out of all of them, and I'm hoping that the Academy will have the same opinion and, you know, come to their senses and vote for the best movie instead of the one that Pixar made. Which is rare, because usually Pixar is the one that makes the best movie. I think this is one of the first years in a while that my favorite animated film was not a Pixar movie, actually.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see who's right in that category.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we both could get it wrong. Like you said, it could be something weird like Frankenweenie. Like, it could be something that neither of us expect. It's, this is probably the hardest.
And the Academy Award goes to Pirates, and we'll both be like, what?
I honestly love the Pirates. Like, that's such a fun movie, but I think it stands the least amount of chance of winning. That one has, like, maybe a 5% chance, whereas all the other ones are, like, 30-50% chance, but I would be shocked if the Pirates won, even though I wouldn't be too upset about it. I think that movie was hilarious. But yeah, this year is a lot of these categories are very hard to predict, actually. Like, some years it's very clear cut, like it's just like obvious in every category. Last year was kind of like that.
Yeah.
But this year is like, holy crap, I have no idea who's going to win in half of these awards.
Which is fun. I think that makes the Oscars more fun, because usually in years past, yeah, when you have an idea of what's going to win, it's kind of like, it's going to be just kind of boring knowing who's win. This time it's actually like, what we're...
Yeah, it's not as interesting.
What we're choosing actually could have interesting debates. Like, if one of us are right against the other, it'll be interesting to see what that means for the next year in film and what projects...
Yeah.
Because, like, the Oscars, like, if more interesting films start winning Oscars, then more interesting films will start getting greenlit. It's just that kind of, it's just that way of thinking.
Yeah, it dictates a lot more than people realize, I think. Even though it is kind of a popularity contest, it's the main reason why I keep up with the Oscars, is it sort of dictates what's popular and what the Academy has their eyes on, sort of thing. It's almost like the Eye of Sauron. Sort of turning towards different things. That's how I see the Academy. It's like the Eye of Sauron, and it's only looking at a certain part of filmdom at any one point. So it's interesting to
you
see.
You can't
where
simply walk into the Oscars.
The Eye of the Academy is looking.
Without a $2 million dress.
Yeah. Made by some guy I've never heard of and will never care about. That's one thing you won't hear us talking about on the Oscar shows. Oh my god, Jessica Chastain was so well dressed. I don't care.
I know we made this joke.
Anyway, speaking...
never mind. I'll drop it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of Jessica Chastain, we basically got all of the acting awards coming up next. So the first one is Actress in a Supporting Role. Amy Adams, nominated yet again for The Master. Sally Field, none other than The Flying Nun, for Lincoln. Anne Hathaway, The Princess of Genovia, for Les Mis.
Yes.
Helen Hunt, can't think of any interesting weird thing that she was in.
Twister?
Helen Hunt.
She's a...
Twister, yeah.
She's up
Chick
in the
from
air
Twister
due to a
Twister. In the Sessions.
She knows what women want.
Ooh, it's an up-in-the-air category. And Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook, who I think is only really known for, like, Australian films besides that. For this one, I picked Anne Hathaway for the reasons that you said earlier, that basically she's, like, she did that role so she could get an Oscar, basically. She cut her hair, she looks like she's half dead, she looks like she lost weight, she has to sing throughout the entire movie. I mean, she did play a good part. I'm not going to, like, look past the actual role she played, but I'm picking her more on the actual politics. Who I want to win would probably be... I liked Helen Hunt in The Sessions. I would say probably Amy Adams in The Master, just because Amy Adams keeps getting nominated, and I love Amy Adams, and she never wins, and I feel bad for her. But I
yeah,
think
you
Anne
only
Hathaway's
wanted to win because the hand job scene in The Master. Don't lie.
Because of what? Sorry, the Skype cut out.
Oh, I said that the hand job scene in The Master.
Oh yeah, that was creepy. Yeah, she deserves an award for doing that scene without throwing up. To be honest with you. Ugh. Philip Seymour Hoffman, not the man I'd want to give a hand job to be honest with you. But anyways, who is your pick for actress in a supporting role, Andrew?
I would probably say I also agree that Anne Hathaway will probably get the award.
Okay.
I would like to see Amy Adams get it, because I thought The Master was a really interesting movie, and that was really, really worked because of the performances in it, even though I don't entirely get the movie, but yeah
it was a weird film, but it did have brilliant performances. So all right, so actress in a leading role, I thought they would put the two supporting ones together, but ladies first, I guess. or ladies last in this case, actually. It's kind of a little bit sexist now that I
Sexism.
Look at it. Anyways, actress in the leading role. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Riva for Amour. I don't even know how to pronounce her name. I'm going to try Kevin Jane Wallace.
I think it's...
Maybe.
Quavenze Wallace. Let's just say Wallace. Miss Wallace. Okay.
That Wallace girl for Beast of the Southern Wild and Naomi Watts for The Impossible. I'm trying to think if there's anyone that was any actresses that really missed out on a nomination. I don't think so. I mean, I'm just glad that we have, in the same category, we have Emmanuel Riva, who's the oldest person, or the oldest woman ever to be nominated for an Oscar, and this Wallace girl, who is one of the youngest. So we've got like a 10-year-old girl and like an 80-something woman duking it out in the same category, where likely both of them will lose, sadly. I would say I would love for either of them to win, though. If I had, like, God powers over the Oscars, I would probably give it to one of them. Probably Emmanuel Riva. Because not to put a dark spin on this, but she's probably going to die before she gets nominated again, because she's pretty old. And just the fact that she even was nominated, I think, is amazing. And her performance in that movie was really good. Especially playing a stroke victim and making you believe that she's in all sorts of pain that she can't convey properly is really, really heartbreaking.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Dave. You're making me cry again. You're making me cry.
Sorry. Yeah, even just thinking about Amour is going to make you cry. So yeah, I think this one's going to be between Jennifer Lawrence and Jessica Chastain. I'm going with Jessica Chastain, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a major reason for it. Just, I mean, she's won a few other awards for the same reason, and she's sort of the main driving force in Zero Dark Thirty, so.
I agree. I think that, Jessica Chastain will win it. I would really like to see Emmanuel Riva, win it for the reasons you mentioned. And also, I just like that, the movie Naomi Watts is nominated for is also the chances of her getting this Oscar.
Pretty much, yeah. It would be The Impossible if she won. I like Naomi Watts, but yeah.
I've heard it's actually not a bad movie, but...
I like The Impossible. I went to see it about a month ago, and very, very intense movie. So brace yourself for that, because it's all like disaster and people dying and severe injuries. And at one point, she pulls like a tapeworm out of her mouth, and it's really gross.
Yum.
Yeah. So I think they mostly nominated Naomi Watts just because of like the fake injuries that she sustains throughout the duration of the movie and how believable she kind of makes it with the pain that she's in. Otherwise, I don't know. So yeah, we both agree on that one. So if Jennifer Lawrence takes it, we'll both be wrong.
I would love to see that, though, because I think she's fantastic in Silver Linings Playbook. So if she went, actually, if any of these people win it, except for Naomi Watts, since I haven't really seen that movie, I would be happy. Any of them win it, I'll just be like, yay!
Yeah. Yeah, there's really no one nominated here that I'd be pissed off if they won. I just think Jessica Chastain will win. I think she stands the best chances.
Yeah. I'll be happy either
way.
But
we could be surprised. There could be...
Are all
there
good.
Could be a shocker here.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Actor in a supporting role. We've got Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. The only one I think that they sort of missed out on, like the person they should have nominated but didn't, would have to be John Goodman for Flight. I don't know. Did you even see Flight? I can't remember.
No, I didn't actually get a chance to see Flight. I want to see Flight, but never really got around to it.
It's a pretty underrated movie, actually. I really liked it. But John Goodman basically plays Denzel Washington's drug dealer. And it's one of his best performances in a while. Like, he plays this really unique character that's almost like a semi-hippie. And sort of every time he shows up, he sort of takes command of the situation. He's like, everyone step back! I got this under control! And he, like, gives him all the drugs that he needs to get going again. And it's kind of sad and funny at the same time, but it's mostly his performance that really, really makes those scenes, and I feel like he was one of the best things about the movie. So I probably would have nominated John Goodman over Alan Arkin, to be honest with you. I like Alan Arkin, but his performance just doesn't really stick out for me, to be honest. The other four I'm A-okay with. Like, I'm glad that these other four people were nominated. I'd be okay with it going to any of them. It's much like the last award. There's only one person. I'd be kind of meh if they gave it to them. But yeah, Robert De Niro, Hoffman, Jones, Waltz, any of them, I'd be happy with. Who would most like to see it go to? I think it's going to go to Christoph Waltz, and he's also the one I would like to see get it the most. Tommy Lee Jones is the other one that stands a decent chance as well.
Ugh.
If you actually look at the previous awards that have been announced up to this point, like all the different critics awards and the Golden Globes, it's sort of been bouncing back and forth between the two of them. Like, Tommy Lee Jones will get it in one show and then Christoph Waltz will get it in another show. And both of them, the irony here is that both of them have already won Best Supporting Actor Oscars for different movies. So, and actually, I think like four out of these five people are already Oscar winners. But I just think Christoph Waltz really made Django Unchained. Like, he was the best thing about that movie. So that's who I'm going to pick.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to go with The Master, because I think that Philip Seymour Hoffman will get it, because I don't think The Master will get much, but I think the Academy will just kind of, well, give it something. And I know that kind of hasn't been the case for the other award shows, but this is just me kind of spitballing a good old guess. So I think that Hoffman will win it. Who I want to win it is actually probably also Hoffman. I would be okay with De Niro winning it, but I honestly don't really want to see Tommy Lee Jones win it, because I was kind of like, eh, Tommy Lee Jones is just Tommy Lee Jones with a limp. It just the character in Lincoln was just was just him, basically. Like, it was clearly like written with him in mind, I think, and kind of was a very showy role that he does. And Christoph Waltz did some stuff different in Django. But overall, I kind of thought he was more of the same as far as his performance in Inglourious Basterds. But if he won, I would not be unhappy, because he has, like, the best acceptance speeches. And he seems like such a nice guy that I kind of always secretly want Christoph Waltz to win, even if I don't love the movie.
Yeah. I think I agree with you in some ways, that definitely Philip Seymour Hoffman and Robert De Niro gave the most unique performances of their career, whereas Tommy Lee Jones and Christoph Waltz was a little bit more challenging, but still kind of playing within their range, I guess. So, again, it's a category there's not too much I'm upset about with it. Anyways, moving on to actor in a leading role, the last one before we get to the big Best Picture nominations. We've got Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Hugh Jackman for Les Mis, Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, and Denzel Washington for Flight. Now, is there anyone you would have liked to have seen nominated here but wasn't?
No, not really. I think this is kind of like par for the course as far as what I expected to get nominated for this category. How about you? Is there anything you expected to win? Or get nominated, I mean?
I don't think so. Like, I'm going back through movies in my head trying to think of any movie that had like a really stunning male performance. The only one I can think of that wasn't nominated is the main guy from Amour. Like, you got the lady from Amour, but the guy in it who also does a spectacular job didn't get a nomination, and I feel kind of bad for him. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. because it's a foreign film and he's not really like a big Hollywood actor. But it would have been nice to have seen him nominated over maybe Hugh Jackman. I'm not sure. I mean, Hugh Jackman does a good job in Les Mis, so I'm okay with these five. I just think the dude from Amour would have been a nice choice.
Yeah, his name is Jean-Louis Trignat. He has like a very hard to say name. But yeah, actually,
okay.
I for some reason I kind of just forgot about his performance a little bit, and which is weird considering Amour was my favorite movie of last year. But yeah, I definitely would have liked to have seen him get a nomination, because it would have been nice if both of them.
I will
could
say
win.
That
in a perfect world for me, both of them would win, and it would be the cutest thing ever.
And then they would kiss on stage, and it would be like, oh, old people kissing. It's cute and disgusting at the same time.
And,
yay.
And then he would put her out of her misery with his Oscar. I mean...
Yeah. Jam it down her throat until she dies. Oh, man. You'll never achieve this level of excellence again. I'm doing you a favor. Yeah. Good times.
I wonder what they would do if that happened. Like, what would the telecast do?
Well, they have security there. I mean, they would stop him before he actually killed her.
Well, they would
her,
just like probably like cut to a bunch of ponies or something like that. They're like, butterflies.
Now, I will say that Silver Linings was easily Bradley Cooper's best performance to date. And probably the same thing with Les Mis for Hugh Jackman. Like, it was probably his most challenging and best performance, even though he's a trained musical theater artist. It was nice to actually see Hugh Jackman do that in a movie, too. I mean, you see him do it on, like, if you ever watched, like, the Tony Awards or when he hosted the Oscars, he sang part of it. But it was nice for him to put that talent to use. But I think the clear choice for who's going to win is the guy who wins every time he's nominated, Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. And something tells me you agree with me, probably.
Oh, yeah. I like, honestly, like, I can't see anything else, anyone else winning. I think, like, I wouldn't mind if Bradley Cooper won, because I thought his role in Silver Linings Playbook was really good, and I hope, like, that this Oscar nomination kind of pushes him to take more roles in that manner that are more challenging. But I think Daniel Day-Lewis kind of has it, has a lock on it, because, I don't know, they keep saying Daniel Day-Lewis is in movies, but, you know, I can never find him. Never find him. He's a chameleon. That was a joke. And it failed.
I didn't hear the first part of your sentence. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just made a joke about...
No, I understand what you mean.
Never mind. Keep going.
I understand what you mean about him being like a chameleon in the movies that he's in, and he but he only does one movie like every 5 years, and then he gets nominated for an Oscar for it. So, and there's people out there that are like John Goodman, I mentioned earlier, does like 3 or 4 movies every year and he doesn't get nominated. It's just, I don't know. The Oscars prefers certain types of people, and Daniel Day-Lewis happens to be one of them. So I think he's probably going to take this one. Any other comments on that one before we move on to the big best picture?
No, but I think it would, I think Joaquin Phoenix was pretty good in The Master, but other than that, I don't really have much to say.
Oh, yeah, I loved him in that movie.
Yeah, he had, like, a really challenging role, so... I mean, if The Master was nominated for something like Best Picture and, like, Best Director and stuff like that, I probably would have betted on him. Like, it probably would have been a more close match between him and Daniel Day-Lewis. But since Lincoln's got all of the noms, I think Lincoln's going to get this one.
All right. Yeah, this is the only one I actually picked for Lincoln to win. But this is definitely, out of all the nominations we've talked about so far, this seems to be the one that's the most clear-cut. So I would be shocked if any of the other people won. Anyways, the next category is not clear-cut at all. Probably the most challenging it's been in years is Best Picture. All right, so going through the Best Picture nominees in alphabetical order, we got Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah, this was, like I said, really hard to pick. Last year, I pretty much picked right away that it was going to be The Artist. Like, it wasn't really hard. The year before that, it was the same thing. The year before that, it was between The Social Network and The King's Speech, but I figured it would be The King's Speech because it seemed more Oscar-y. This year, I have no idea. So, I pretty much picked my favorite, and the one that I also picked for director and screenplay, which is Silver Linings Playbook. Other than that, I can't really defend my choice. It did win a few other awards, especially most notably at TIFF this year. It took home the Audience Choice Award, past Audience Choice Award winners have included films that have won Best Picture, such as No Country for Old Men. But I don't know. I mean, there's a few. Argo seems to be the one that's winning a bunch of awards recently, but it wasn't nominated for Best Director, so that's why I didn't think it was going to win here. Life of Pi and Lincoln also stand a decent chance, but I'm going with Silver Linings just because I think it would be cool if sort of a smaller, more independent kind of romantic comedy film actually won Best Picture. So, all right, Andrew, your turn to babble about movies.
I definitely do like your Silver Linings Playbook choice, but for some reason, something inside me, I've said it before, I think Lincoln is just going to kind of sweep the awards, and that's like, I know there's not much evidence to support it, so I could be completely wrong on this point, in which case I'll have like 0 points, because Lincoln was betted for like most things, so I could be completely wrong on this. As for what I'd like to see win, I would love to see, even though my favorite movie's Amour, I would love to see Beasts of the Southern Wilds win, just because it's such an interesting movie. But the fact that it's so interesting and original, I don't think that it will win the Oscar, but I'm glad that it's even nominated. And if Silver Linings Playbook wins, I will also be very happy, because it might usher in a wave of like really good, really thought-provoking romantic comedies, which would be a nice change. So we'll have to see, but if anyone's going to ask me with a gun to my head, I would say Lincoln. Although, if they had a gun to my head, I bet they would ask a more interesting question.
Okay. I don't think there's really any movie this year I'd be upset if it won. Like, there's none that I think are really bad or that shouldn't have been nominated. I'm pretty pleased with all of these. It would have been nice to have seen a 10th nomination, possibly for something like The Master, or now I can't remember the name of the movie, Moonrise Kingdom. But yeah, otherwise I'm pretty okay with the 9 that they chose. I mean, there's other movies I really liked, like The Sessions and whatnot, but there's movies that are going to get nominated for Best Pictures, and then there's movies that just don't stand a chance. So I'm curious, Andrew, if there's ones that you thought should have been nominated or ones that shouldn't have been nominated. Before we wrap things up here.
I can't really think of anything. I mean, I would put, like, I would definitely be interested in seeing The Master get a nomination, because I thought that was a really interesting film. Well, honestly, like, because I kind of expected The Master to it. I thought, like, The Master would be almost, like, in a way, like Tree of Life, where I would get, like, quite a few nominations, one being Best Picture and all that stuff. I would have liked to see Moonrise Kingdom on there. That would have been a cool thing. Other than that, like, I don't think there's anything that, well, okay, I know we disagree on this point, but I don't really think Django Unchained deserved a Best Picture nom, because I think it's probably one of my least favorite Tarantino movies, but I still liked it. So it was a movie where I hate it, but it was just one that I don't think it's up to snuff of Best Picture quality.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it's one, I liked it. It's kind of was on the lower end of my top 11 this year. But yeah, I don't know. It's a year, like I said earlier, it's going to be really hard to know who wins, and that's going to make it interesting, because really any of these 9 films stand a pretty decent chance, actually. So I would love to see something weird like Beasts of the Southern Wild or Amour, like you said, but who knows? All right, so Andrew, final thoughts on the Oscars coming up on February 24th before we record our actual Oscar results show.
Well, basically, I know a lot of people kind of crap and poo-poo on the Oscars, but it's really kind of a fun award show to watch because in a way I equate it to like the Super Bowl of movie shows where it's like your team may not make it in there, but it's always fun to watch. And it has like a lot more effect on movies, on what movies get greenlit and what movies get made than people think, because a lot of people kind of just shove it off and go, oh, it has no effect, it doesn't matter. And then also, if you don't like the movies that get nominated, also remember that the Oscars don't control what movies are good or what movies that you like. So just because your movie doesn't get nominated does not mean the Oscars are completely invalid or out of touch. It just means that you guys have different tastes, and that doesn't mean either one of you is right or wrong. That's my opinion on the Oscars.
I actually more or less agree with you. I think the Oscars is just fun to watch. I realize that it's basically Hollywood S in its own D for 3 hours. But I just like watching it because it's a celebration of film and it's a fun way to look back on the last year of great movies before we look forward to a new year. Like you said, it doesn't dictate what's good or bad. There's a lot of stuff sometimes that's nominated or stuff that even wins that I think is terrible, and stuff that isn't nominated that I thought was amazing and it didn't get even a single nomination. This is just what some random group of people picked as their favorites, and it's just fun to watch it. Sometimes they do cool stuff where they have like cool like little musical performances and stuff like that. Sometimes the host can be pretty funny. I don't know about Seth MacFarlane. I'm not a huge Family Guy fan. I thought Ted was okay, so I'm not super looking forward to him as a host, to be honest with you. I think they could have picked someone better, but I'm looking forward to the show in general.
Oh, man.
It's going to be better than James Franco, anyways.
I completely forgot that Seth MacFarlane was hosting the Oscars. I think I just keep deleting it from my brain because I'm not looking forward to it at all. So I keep going, oh, who's hosting the Oscars again? And then it's like, oh, no, it's Seth MacFarlane. Kill me now. Ugh. Hopefully
it's a random choice too, because like what else has he hosted? Nothing.
Like I think he hosted like
he's known for doing like voice acting. That's about it.
I think he's hosted like SNL once or something like that, or like nothing that you would say immediately like makes you okay. Oscar worthy. But I don't know. I think they could have come up with like a better choice because there are plenty of funny comedians out there, and I don't think Seth MacFarlane is one of them. But that's just my opinion. Who knows? I could be proven completely wrong.
Yeah, we'll see, because when I first heard that Anne Hathaway and James Franco were doing it together, I was like, hey, that's a pretty interesting choice. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. So it might go the opposite way with Seth MacFarlane, but I'm not super looking forward to that. But I am looking forward to the show in general. Again, for those of you listening to this, I think this episode will actually be posted on the night that the Oscars comes out, but that night, we're actually, or possibly the next day, we're going to record a show talking about our results of what won the Oscars and who won the Oscar game, who we thought should have won, who we were glad won, who we were kind of pissed off or upset about, all that fun stuff. So definitely look forward to that in the future. And don't forget to leave your feedback, feedback@thisweekingeek.net, or by calling our voicemail 817-717-7202 and let us know what you think of this year's Academy Awards. Until next time, remember to live large and keep the accepted speech under 60 seconds. Catch you later, guys.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, okay, I'm good. Geico. Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die, 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 die. Holy crap. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, my God. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.